We're going to pick up right about where we left off. Peter said to Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have told the joke repeatedly about the man stranded in the floodwaters. It seems appropriate to tell again on this day. And he was a faithful man. And he prayed that God would send him someone to rescue him from first the second floor of the house. And a boat came up and he said, Nope, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And then from the roof of the house, another boat came by. And he said, Nope, God's going to save me. And then from the roof of the house, one last time, a helicopter came. Nope, God was going to save me. Well, he drowned. And he got to heaven and he said, "Lord, why didn't you save me?" And he said, "I sent two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want from me?" What are we willing to let God do in our lives? That is a fundamental question that comes up when we talk about this passage with Peter and the disciples and Jesus. It is at the end of Jesus' life. They are in Jerusalem for that last week celebrating the Passover. And Jesus knows something is going on, and the disciples, like the disciples usually are a little slow. And they haven't quite caught up to things yet. And so they eat dinner, and Jesus gets ready, takes off his robe, wraps a towel around himself, gets a basin of water, and prepares to wash their feet. And Peter looks at him like, "You're crazy. You're not going to do this to me." So, given that we are modern, contemporary, exceptionally private Presbyterian people, I figured I should recast this. So imagine, if you will, that we're the disciples and it's Passover week and we're out for dinner with Jesus. And Jesus beats you to putting your credit card on the bill. Would you act like, no, Lord, I got this. I can pay for me, Lord. If I was really prepared, this is where we'd segue to having the choir play, "Jesus paid it all." Because we're fiercely independent people, aren't we? And we're a little bit stubborn. And yes, I feel capable using those words to describe every single one of you sitting in this sanctuary today. But after this, we get to the meat of the passage, okay? We get distracted by the foot washing part of it because, like, feet are gross. And, like, the Pentecostals do that, and we can't do anything the Pentecostals do, even if it's in the Bible. The meat, though, is the part that happens after this. When Jesus looks at the disciples and says, "If I am your Lord and teacher, and I'm willing to do this to you, and for you, you should be willing to do it for each other and for the world." And that gets back to that modern interpretation of what are we not willing to let Jesus or God do in our lives. Because that's the piece that we're not going to do for our neighbor. It gets funky. It gets a little crazy. It gets difficult. How many of you are good at being forgiven? So how many of you are good at forgiving? Right? Those two go a little bit hand in hand, right? How many of you have ever been aggressively forgiven? John, I forgive you for what you did. Didn't that made me feel so much better? How'd it make you feel, John? A little doubtful, right? That's not the kind of forgiveness we're really talking about, right? We're talking about the real stuff, the good stuff, not the say you're sorry, I'm sorry, from when you punch your sibling or get punched by your sibling. What is it that we're not good at letting God do for us? Because that's probably a piece of what we're not good at doing as disciples. I think of lots of things that we're sort of lousy at. I mean, we're really lousy at following directions. How many of us are really good at not taking the last piece of dessert in the other room? Some of us have good reasons not to do it, but we're by far the minority, aren't we? We draw fences around our lives at times. There's conversations we're willing to have. There's conversations we're not willing to have. When, as a pastor, you walk into some hospital rooms, there are conversations you can tell in the first 15 seconds are not going to happen, even though they need to happen. How do we talk about the end of life and the resurrection if nobody's willing to talk about death? Do we believe God is active in death as much as God is active in life? Right? Really dangerous question, but we're coming up on Easter, so I hope you know what the answer should be. Take us to another well-known Bible story. Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He's teaching. And there's a crowd. And they've picked out a woman. And she's an adulterer. Now, I was always taught it takes two to tango. But we only hear about the woman. And they have these ready to go. The way the story is told in the Gospels, it is as though Jesus physically interposes himself between the people with the rocks and the woman. Like, that's a really big deal. How many of you want to stand between the choir and the rocks and Granger? What does it mean to us that that is something Jesus does? Are we willing to stand in the way? Because I don't believe that the woman goes away from that encounter unchanged. I don't think she can. What are we willing to believe about Jesus? We tell a lot of great stories about Jesus, the conquering hero. That's in our eschatology. It's in our vision of how the end of the world is going to be. Jesus is just going to ride in, slap some heads together, and fix everything. Does that match up with the Jesus of the Gospels? Are we willing to let Jesus do that four-letter word that we don't want, help us? How many of you like to ask for help? Right? If we're not good at accepting it, how good are we at giving it? Real help. There is a deep, deep challenge in this passage. And it is more than getting uncomfortable about feet and water and somebody else touching your feet. It is about getting uncomfortable with Jesus touching the parts of your life that are off limits to everyone and everything else. And if you think about it, we probably have a large swath of that territory, don't we? Shouldn't be. No, shouldn't be. But we do. There's a challenge for the disciples then and now in this passage, and it's to really let Jesus in. Peter says, nah, nope, we're good, no more coffee, I'm fine, Jesus. You can go back to the kitchen and leave me alone. And what does Jesus say to him? If you don't let me do this, you have no part of me. That's loaded stuff. That is loaded stuff. I think our challenge is to slow down long enough to do two things. Long enough to accept the help to wash our hands or our feet. I mean, Bob could have done it 6 times in as long as it took me and Catherine to get it done. And the other piece is to slow down long enough to see the places where we can wash hands and feet. And to take the time to do it. So when you go from here, I'm going to actually place an action challenge on you in the fellowship hall. Do not serve your own plate. Serve one another. We'll see if you can remember that long enough to get in there and then long enough to do it. Slow down. And be served and be servants. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.